desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God today. I'm going to talk about a subject that all of us have talked about before. We're talking about faults. And really, there's not a person here that doesn't have one, at least one. And probably, if we were to be honest with ourselves, we have more than one. And I want us to turn to the 5th chapter of James, and I want you to pray for us and with us as we endeavor to share with you what the Lord gave us regarding it. I want to start reading at James, the 5th chapter, and I want to start reading at the 13th verse. If you have it, you can read it for us. James 5, verse 13. We talked a little bit about this last Sunday, didn't we? Is any among you afflicted? And what the responsibility of that person is that person is to pray. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, you see how many times it's telling us to pray here. If you're afflicted, pray. If you're any sick among you, pray. And pray the prayer of faith that will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, it goes on down to say in the 16th verse is where we're going to take the text of our lesson out of today. Confess your faults, all right? So it says here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now, let's talk a little bit about this, because when it says here, if we say here, confess, what does that mean? Okay, acknowledge, all right? Confess your faults. Now, it's not talking about saying somebody else's fault. That's not what the Scripture's saying here. It's not, let's get together and let's talk about this person. You know what such and such does? They, you know, they're always doing this and they're always doing that. We tend to do that, don't we? We tend to acknowledge another man's problems. And when we get into a situation and an area where that person's problem has caused an issue for me, what do? We go to somebody else and we start confessing or acknowledging that somebody else has a problem. Somebody else has a fault. Somebody else has a defect. Something that's wrong with them. Something that's wrong with their character. We're quick to talk to somebody else about somebody else. But where the problem is often is, as the Scripture says here, confess whose faults? Yours. All right? Now, I wanted to give a definition here of fault. It says here a weakness. Everyone has a weakness, and the Lord allows us to have these types of weaknesses. And really what a weakness is and what this weakness is a result of sin. Every one of us was born into sin. Now, Adam and Eve, they were in a different kind of a position than what we are. They were in a perfect world. They were perfect people. They did not know sin. They had no understanding of what sin was until they came to the point of disobeying God. And when they disobeyed God, then they introduced into the gene, you might say, or the gene pool, this weakness or this tendency not to acknowledge things. One of the first things that happened to Adam was when Adam ate of the fruit, what did they do? They went and they hid. They sowed fig leaves, the Scripture says, and they went and they hid. And God called them out, and God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam says to the Lord, he said, well, we were naked, and so we hid ourselves. We were ashamed, and we hid ourselves. And what was the thing that the Lord says? Well, how did you know you were naked? You'd always been naked. How did you know you were naked? Well, he said, what did Adam say? Help me out. Help me preach today. He said what? Okay, he heard his voice in the garden, but when the Lord approached Adam and the Lord asked Adam, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she did give it to me, and I did eat. Now, who was the last one? Now, here's what he called. The first of all, he says, the woman that you gave to me, God. All right, the woman. So he's dealing with the woman. It's her fault that you gave to me, God. He gave to me, and then it's me. All right, so it really is not my fault. I'm not going to acknowledge that I have a problem. What I want you to understand, Lord, is that if it had not been for this woman that you gave me, I wouldn't even be in this position. That's in essence what he's saying. And so from that moment when mankind, when sin was introduced to mankind, from that time on, what happened at the one of the, when it was Abel, when Cain killed Abel, what did he say? When the Lord asked him where he was, he says, am I my brother's keeper? He knew what happened. So in other words, there is this tendency, since sin has been introduced and that has presented a weak thread in the human gene, you might say, there is a lack of acknowledgement of what we have done. And so what we want to do is we want to make ourselves, now listen, this is no easier for me to preach than it is for you to accept. All right? So but what we're dealing with, we're going to just pull the covers off of everything, and we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, help me, because I'm the one that need help. It's not my wife. You know the song that sang sometime? It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one with the problem. And if all of us came to the point of acknowledging it, even if the person that is closest to you has a problem, oftentimes you exacerbate the problem because of your problems. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so what we do when we go to work, there's something wrong with the boss. He has what we call a fault, don't we? And then we get in our little huddles beside the water cooler, and we talk, well, do you know what he did? We talk about those things, don't we? But we never talk about what our problems are. We never say, you know what, I got this problem, and I'm just trying to get over it. Would y'all pray for me? But I want you to understand, it says here, confess your faults one to another. Now, what that infers is that there is a relationship that we have. I'm not just going to go stand in front of a whole group of strangers and start telling them what's wrong with me. And that's not what the Scripture is telling you to do either. But it infers that there is a relationship, because what we're going to do, we're going to confess our faults, your faults, one to another. So in other words, I've got some type of a relationship with the person that I'm confessing my faults with. I feel safe to confess my faults to that person, because what I know is going to happen is they're going to say, you know what, I've got a problem too, and I want you to pray for me. It's not just that we confess our faults and I acknowledge, or you acknowledge, or someone acknowledges that they have a problem or a fault or failing. Let me continue to read the definition here. It says, it's a weakness, it's a failing, especially a moral weakness less serious than a vice. So we're not talking about somebody that is sinning. We're not talking about if somebody is in open rebellion against God. We're talking about someone that has a weakness or a failing or a character defect, or there's something about their character that they seem not to be able to get over as quickly as they would like to. And we all have different ones, don't we? But ultimately, once we get in, it's probably 10 or 20 or 25 of them, and all of us have various combinations of those. I don't know how many it is, but we have various combinations of those things. In other words, there's one person that is impatient. That is a fault, right? And there is a person here that is ultra patient or just entirely too slow. That's a fault. And what happens when you put those two people together, there's going to cause some kind of friction. There is going to be something that happens that neither one of them want to happen. They're going to get on what we call each other's nerves. Right? All right, so it says here, confess your faults one to another. And then what does it say? Pray one for another that you may be healed. So here's what I believe the Lord wants us to get out of this scripture. It is that this fault, this issue, this problem, this weakness that we have, it needs to be healed, and there is only one that can heal. Now, when you take into consideration healings, folks can go to the doctors all day long. They can give them all kinds of prescriptions. They can do everything that they operate on them, and remove this and remove that. What they can do is they can help promote healing, but they cannot heal. All right? The doctors cannot make the blood clot. They cannot make, when there is a cut, they can sew it together and then trust that God is able to bring this thing back together, and then the body begins to heal itself, right? All right, so the healing doesn't belong to us. The healing belongs to God, and that's why we're to pray. Number one, the first thing that we're to do is we're to make a confession that I've acknowledged that I have this issue. I've acknowledged that I have a problem, and now I know that I need you to pray for me. Let's pray for each other that I might be healed of this problem. It's a sickness. All right? So I have an issue, a sickness, and in essence, a weakness, a failing, a defect, something that I need God to do for me, and I need you to pray for me. All right? You following me? All right, especially a moral weakness less serious than a vice. It's a lack. It's an unattractive or unsatisfactory feature, especially in a person's character. So an unsatisfactory feature. Now, I've said this many times. Most of us, well, if we were really honest about ourselves, then there are things about us that we don't like. Right? I wish I was more fill in the blank. I wish I had more fill in the blank. I wish I was more patient. I wish I was more loving. I wish I didn't have this streak on me that I just didn't, that whatever it may be. There are things about us that we wish we could change. And if there are things about us, and let me tell you, there's no person that loves us better than we do. There's no person that's going to take care of us better than we are. So let's establish the fact that if there are things about us, about me, about you, that we wish we could change, don't you suppose that there are things about us or you that people that come in contact with us wish that they could change? All right, so don't be so upset at folks when they want you to make a change. Now let's talk about marriage, right? Every divorce, every person that cannot get along, it is a result of a fault in that person's character. And when you got two people with fault and they come from different backgrounds, and what do they say? We just, you know, one of the most popular thing that you hear in divorces is that it just had irreconcilable differences. We just couldn't reconcile our differences. He's got faults, he's this and he's that, and we can list them all down, and maybe every single one of them is true, but what we don't say is that I've got them too. Well, I guess when you say you've got differences that somebody won't give, somebody won't come together and try to reconcile, that this is what healing is all about. Let me tell you, and I believe this with all of my heart, I don't believe that there's any marriage that has ever existed that did not face some major crisis that was enough to tear them apart if they allowed it. I don't care how sweet that person is and how nice they are and how wonderful they are. I believe that there will come a time where your marriage will be so tested that you could break apart and you can go in your corner and they can go in their corner and you can just deal with it. It's better for you to just separate in your mind. But let me tell you, I don't know anybody that's going to any marital problems, and I thank the Lord for that. I believe that we have solid marriages for the most part, and I thank the Lord for that. But let me tell you, one of the things that you can do is confess your faults. Look at what you do, because what I've learned, I've been married for 30 years, and I know something about what I'm talking about. It's not something that somebody taught me in a book. It's something that the Lord taught me, and it's something that I learned over the period, over the time that I've been married, right? What has to happen is, when you come to these disagreements, what you have to do is you have to come to a point of saying, listen, here's where my problem is. This is where these people, when you have somebody that you love, it's a safe environment that you can make this confession. And let me tell you, when they make a confession, it's not for you to jump on, I told you that was what your problem is. It's been your problem all of our married life. You don't do that. And if you stop doing that, it would make it easier on me. Well, maybe it would. But let me tell you what your problem is. See, this is what tends to happen. We tend to get a little combative. This is why I want us to understand that it says confess your fault. Confess your fault. Because what I've learned over the years in counseling people in my own marriage, and I know we have a solid, good marriage, and I can say that. And I know my wife would say it as well. But one of the things that I've learned over the years is that there has to be a safe environment that you speak and you don't combat somebody else. Because what I've learned is that, yes, she's got a problem, but you know what? What I did caused her to react the way that she did. So here's a part of the problem. Part of the problem is my action, or can I use myself in a general sense? I don't want to make you think that this is what's happening in my marriage or anything like this, but in any kind of relationship. So I'm using, when I say me, I'm saying it in a general sense. So it's not talking about me specifically, but it's talking about me general. It's talking about you. It's talking about humankind, all right? So there is an action that I have. Maybe that person is a person that's impatient, all right? And maybe the person that you are in close proximity with is a person that's very, very slow and very deliberate, and they double-check everything, and they have to do it just like this and just like that. And so when whoever that person is, whoever the primary suspect is, we'll put it that way, whoever the primary suspect is causing the action, there is going to be something that's called a reaction. All right? So whose problem is that? Is it the person that caused the action, or is it the person that has the reaction? So what do we say oftentimes? Oftentimes we say things like, you know, God didn't save you for people to treat you right. He saved you for you to treat people right. And that really is a true statement. And so what that tells us is that it doesn't really matter what the action is. My reaction has to be right. And if my reaction isn't right, then there's something really wrong with me. Because the grace of God makes it possible for me to deal with anything. It doesn't matter what comes or what goes. It doesn't matter what I'm faced with. God is not going to say, you know what? You could have been a good person if it hadn't have been for your husband or your wife or your children that got on your nerves. You would have been a good person and you would have reacted properly if they had acted right. The Lord is not going to say that, is he? And the boss, when you're at work and you go to your boss and somebody goes off on somebody and somebody says something that they shouldn't say and they got fired, and is it their fault that they got fired? Because, well, he said this to me and he shouldn't have said that to me. He shouldn't have done this to me and I'm not going to take that. Well, that's your reaction to what they're saying. You should have control over yourself to the point that it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing or saying to you. You should have a level of control over yourself. And if you don't, there is a character defect that God wants you to change. That God wants healing in your life. All right? So, confess your fault. Now, here is another scripture. Confession means to tell or make known as something wrong or damaging to oneself. Now, these definitions I got right really literally out of the dictionary. To admit and to acknowledge. So, in other words, sometimes we can reluctantly make a confession. And it's not for us to stand up in a public setting, as we said, and make a confession of what's wrong with me. Some people have quick tempers. We can name it. It doesn't matter what they are. You know what a fault is. You know what a weakness is. You know what a character defect is. And there is something about it. And you know what I learned, and I heard another preacher say this, and I believe it with all of my heart. There are some things that the Lord allows that we see in ourselves, and the Lord opens it up in our understanding, and he says, I want you to work on that. I want you to work on that little part of you. And we're better than what we were, but we're still not to the level of perfection. Now, again, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about things, faults, weaknesses that would hinder us in some kind of a way. And so I want us to make certain that we understand that. All right, let's go a little further here. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, let me tell you, if you want to get over this, or you want your husband or your boss or your sibling or whatever to stop causing the issues in your life that they are causing, then you are to pray for them. That's your job. You are to pray for them. He said, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, there are times that the Lord, as I was saying, there are times that the Lord, there are things that we're working on that we don't seem like we're able to get over just right away. We're better than what we were, but we're still not to the point that we need to be. And I believe the reason that the Lord allows us to struggle in some areas is so that we can be more long-suffering to other people that are struggling in areas as well. You understand what I'm saying? If you were able to get rid of every one of your faults just like this, you would not have patience for anyone else. Sometimes we still don't have patience for other people. Well, just do it, is what we want to say. Just do right. Just do what you're supposed to do, and it makes my life easier. That's not what it's all about. Have you prayed for that person to do what will make your life easier? Most of the time, we don't pray for it. We go and we talk to somebody about what's going on with this person or what's going on with that person. We like to get in our little huddles and talk about other people's faults. Don't we? That seems to be one of the things that we do. And I'm saying, when I say we, I'm talking about humankind in general. We talk about the president and his policies, and we got him out of there, the president, and we talk about the next president, and we talk about the senators and all the other people, and they talk about each other. It just seems like we talk about folks rather than praying for folks. Lord, have mercy on us. Pray one for another that you might be healed. It is God that is going to make the change in that person's life. It is God that is going to make the change in your life, and the only way that that's going to happen is that you pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Something is going to happen. It is not going to happen with you getting in their face and you telling them that you've drawn the line and you're not going to take it anymore, or you're going to walk out and this is what's going to happen. That's not what it says here. It says pray for them. Let me tell you, you go and you find your closet and you start praying, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on this person. That person needs to change. And you see all the grief that they're causing me. Lord, have mercy. You go someplace and you pray. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The Lord, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's not all about their faults. It's about your faults, and it's about whether or not you're praying one for another. Now, if you're doing that, then the Lord's going to do something. All right? Y'all with me so far? All right. Let's go to Matthew 18, verse 15. Let's read that, please. If your brother does, now take into mind, this is not talking about people. I think it reaches to those people as well. But it's not talking about people that are not Christian people. It's talking about your brother. So if your brother, so I believe it could reach to your spiritual brother, it could reach to your brother on the job, it could reach to your brother, literally your sibling. If your brother trespass against thee, okay, so does it mean to go and tell everybody else's fault? Do you see how it shrinks it down and we're just dealing with the ones that are affected by it? Go and tell him his fault.
Between thee and him alone.
We're not going to make this an issue to everybody. We're not going to stand up on the housetop and tell everybody how wrong your brother did you. And how things need to change. And this is what he did, and this is what he said, and this is how he said. Don't do that. He says, go to your brother and tell him his fault between you and he alone. All right, read. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, and if he will not hear thee,
then take with thee one.
Okay, now, I want to stop there for a moment. How you approach a person has a whole lot to do with whether or not they accept what you say. All right? So if you approach a person with their fault and you just land down all of your grievances to that individual and you're just wanting to get it off of your chest and you really don't care how it makes them feel and how they're going to respond to it, it really doesn't matter to you. What you need to do is give them a piece of your mind, then we've got a problem there, don't we? That's not what the Scripture is talking about. Here. It says you go to him, and what's your goal? Your goal in mind is to gain thy brother. Your goal in mind is to understand that there is something wrong with him. There's something that he's done that has affected you in a negative way, and you prayed about it before you ever gone to him. And sometimes the Lord says, go to him, and sometimes the Lord says, it's not timing yet. So one of the things that we need to understand is that there always, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God has a time and a plan for us to go and present ourselves. They may not be ready yet. They may not be ready to hear what it is that you've got to say. And it may be somebody very close to you. And so what you're doing all the time is you are being cognizant of your own issues, of your own problems, of your own weaknesses, your own failings, your own faults, your own shortcomings, and you're praying for yourself and you're praying for them. And let me tell you, when you start praying for yourself, you'll be more lenient and more understanding on somebody else. Because you see that you have an issue here. So it says here, go to your brother between you and him alone. Nobody else has to know that he's offended you in some kind of a way. Nobody else has to know. You don't have to tell it. And if you do that, then you go and you've gained your brother if he hears you. And if he doesn't hear you, one of the things that you need to step back on and say, how did I approach him? Now if it's your brother should hear you. Particularly if you've gone in the right spirit and in the right way, with humbleness of heart, and you've explained, you know what, I want you to just understand, I love you, and I'm trying to help you. It's not just all about me, it's about you as well. Go to your brother, between you and him alone. Read. Yes, if he will not hear thee. All right, take with thee one or two more that in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, this person, if one or two more in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. This is a serious breach here. And there is a desire to do everything. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my personality. Do you realize that there are some personalities that just don't get along very well? There really are. But let me tell you something about that. Here's the good news about that. Some people are just overbearing, and then some people are very shy. All of these things are little defects, and I'm not saying to the point that we have to, that there's something wrong with them. It's just that when you get these personalities together, something happens. There's a dynamic that happens. And what we need is we need the Lord to help us to realize that it doesn't matter what my personality is and what doesn't matter what his personality or her personality is, I can get along with them by the grace of God. I can love them with a true heart by the grace of God. I can do that by God's grace. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter what their problems are. God has grace that is sufficient for you and for me and for them and for everybody. There are things that we have to do in order to reconcile. Let me tell you what I've learned in any kind of relationship, and I'm in any kind of relationship between spouses, between friends, between family. Every relationship is going to go through a phase where it has an issue. That you're going to have to reconcile, that you're going to have to come together and stay together. Let me tell you, I want to say it. It takes two people to want to make it happen for it to happen. This is why the scripture is saying, pray one for another. You pray for me and I pray for you. It's not just that I'm praying for you only. It is that you're praying for me as well. And then I'm asking the Lord for the grace that I need to bear with you until you get what you need. And I'm asking the Lord to give you the grace to bear with me until I get to where I need to be as well. Lord, help us to understand and to realize that we need God. Both of us need God. All of us need Him. All right? All right, so there is this mutual confession that we have. All right? Let's go a little further here. Let's go to Hebrews 12 and 11. Let's start reading at the 11th verse, please. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Pray for us. No chastening. For the present seemeth to be joyous. No chastening, what does that mean? Correction, discipline. And if you go to someone that has a problem, in essence, what you're doing is disciplining them. You can say what you want. You call it what you want. But in one sense, you're chastening them. You're saying to them that you have a problem and you need to make an adjustment. All right? No chastening for the present seeming to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Continue. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So now it's saying here, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. It hurts. There are some things, what is grievous? It hurts. So when there is somebody that's going to give you any kind of correction, whether it's sweet, people have given me sweet correction. Now, you don't need to do that. And it hurts your feelings, didn't it? Well, that's a little chastening. They've given you a discipline you in some kind of way. Your boss comes in and he says, oh, you're sitting down for your, what do they call it? Review. They're sitting down for your review and they say, you know what? You got this, 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 and this. And you've done an excellent job, but then there are some areas here that you need to improve. And, you know, generally speaking, we want to get a little defensive and we want to say that, you know, the reason I can't do my job is because everybody else in the office don't do their job. That ain't what he said. Right? So that chastening is grievous. It hurts. And no matter how sweet and how nice they can say it, it can hurt our feelings. All right? It's grievous. But it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. But when it says, now wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So in other words, now you're all disappointed and depressed about what somebody else has done and what somebody else has said. All right? And make straight paths for your feet, lest he, read, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. So in other words, make straight paths for your feet. Don't get all disappointed and all twisted out of sorts because of what somebody said. The feeble knees and the things that's calling you about to buckle and break down because of what somebody has said about you. Lift up your hands. Lift up your head. Make straight paths for your feet. Pull yourself together. In other words, because it's going to be beneficial for you ultimately in the end. There is some healing that needs to happen in your life. There's some healing that needs to happen in this situation. So therefore, if you're all upset and you're disappointed and you're depressed about this issue, you're not going to allow it to be healed. You're going to find a justification why they shouldn't have said this about you or why I shouldn't have to deal with this and all that. No, what you need to do is you just need to allow, Lord, this is what's wrong with me. I acknowledge it. Yes, I haven't been as great here in this area as I should have been. Now, Lord, what I want you to do is to give me the grace to be able to do it, to pull myself together, to be able to make straight paths for my feet and to allow this to heal. Allow it to heal. That is the problem with some folks. Some people won't let things be healed in relationships. We've dealt with that before, and now you're bringing it up. There you go again. How many times have we said those kinds of things? There you go again. Talking about that. How many times have we talked about that? May the Lord help us to understand. Listen, this is just, I'm preaching where we are, aren't I? Y'all are sure quiet tonight, today. I sure hope you're listening. Hope you're getting a hold of it. Because let me tell you what God wants to do for you. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal your relationships. He wants to heal the things that have caused breaches in relationships. And this is the first thing, one of the first things that you have to do is you've got to face it. Have you ever skinned your knee or got a splinter in your hand as a child? You remember those times and you were come running in crying and you're got gravel in your knee, and what is the first thing mom has to do? She smooth your tears. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now let me look at it. No, I don't want you to look at it. And then, no, let me look at it. And they take it off, and then what is the next thing that they've got to do? They've got to clean it, don't they? They've got to clean it. But you can't just put a Band-Aid on it and it's dirty and it's got dirt in it. And so in order to clean it, you've got to confront it and it's going to hurt a little bit, isn't it? Now, this is going to hurt. I'm going to go as light and as easy as I possibly can. It's going to hurt, but I've got to clean it. Oh, no. Sometimes we've got to hold them down, don't we? Because we've got to get down to the issue. And sometimes what the Lord wants to do is get down to the issues. We've got issues. We've got problems. There's something that needs to be cleaned out. That's why there's a weakness there, is because we haven't dealt with some issue that needs to be dealt with. And so the Lord says what happens is it keeps festering and it keeps knocking the scab off. Now what we need to do, we need to deal with this. And once we deal with it, then it could heal. In the same way about natural things, it's the same way with us. About our faults. There are things about us that the Lord wants to heal. And there are some things that have to be confronted before that can truly happen. There's some things about our character that we have to confront. We have to acknowledge. We have to say, you know what? You're right. I have never, over the years that I have been a pastor, 25 years, and over those years, I have never been able to help somebody that doesn't want help. I've never been able to help somebody in an area that they have not acknowledged that they have a problem there. So if I don't acknowledge the general me, if I don't acknowledge that I have a problem in this area, I'll never get help there. And it may not be to the degree that my spouse says it is, or my friend says it is, or my brother or sister say it is, but it may not be to that degree, but generally, folks that love you will tell you the truth about you. You may not want to hear it, but they'll tell you the truth about you. And it's up to us at that point to say, you know what, that is part of my problem. And Lord, if you'll help me to overcome it. And then you just say to him, you know, go to him and start asking him to pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going to get over this by the grace of God. I'm going to get over this. And it may be always a weakness. May be always something that you have to fight against. But it's something that gets better. A little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And then, and the Lord helps you to go through and fight and struggle with this thing until you have conquered it. And once you've conquered it, then you realize that you know what, now, you know what, those people are not even getting on my nerves like they used to. And you know what? You know why they're not getting on your nerves? Because what they were doing was reacting to what you were doing. And now that you're not doing it to the level that you're doing it, their reaction has gone away and your life has gotten easier. But you know what we tend to want to do is it's hard for us to deal with our own issues. It's hard for us to deal with our own issues. And so it's easier for me, for us, and I'm saying us all in general, it's easier for us to deal with somebody else's issues and make them change and fight them and do whatever we have to do to make them change rather than to put the mirror in front of us and say, you know what, maybe there's something that I'm doing that's causing them to react the way that they're reacting. And Lord, if you'll change me. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And if you change me, then I guarantee you that you'll see a difference in their actions or reactions. And sometimes it's compounded. Sometimes there's an action, and sometimes it's inaction. Sometimes that's the problem, isn't it? Right? Sometimes it's inaction. But all it's going to give some kind of reaction every time. Lord help us. We'll go on. Let's go to Galatians 6, verse 1.
Brethren,
yes?
If a man be
overtaken in a fault,
ye which are spiritual,
restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So in other words, if you see somebody that has... Now, this is talking, I'm utilizing it in the light of the faults that we're talking about. This is talking about maybe something a little bit deeper as well. But it takes nothing away from it from the way that we're using it here. Overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. So in other words, it's like this. Here's the problem. If a man is drowning and I can't swim, I need to be standing on the bank in order to save him. Right? I need to be in a... So what I'm saying is I need to be in a solid position to help him. And if I'm not in a solid position to help him, it does not make sense for me to jump in the water and try to save him. Does it? If I can't swim. Right? It just makes no sense because two people end up dead. And so you do everything that you can from the solid position, from a supported position, you do everything that you can to help that person. This is what the scripture is talking about. The scripture says that ye which are spiritual, you see your brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Somebody that's in a solid position to help that person, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now what do you have to do is you have to put yourself in that person's shoes. So you just can't go and try to correct somebody else when you have issues that you're dealing with. Well, what about your problems? Is what that person is going to say. Well, what about your problem? You're over here trying to make everything right for me. And this is how when we're in contact with people that we're close to, this is how those people respond and react to us, isn't it? When we're not in the position that we're supposed to be in, they get a little combative, don't they? So Lord, help us. Our responsibility before we ever approach somebody is to make certain that that we have gotten together all of our things, all of our issues are taken care of. And then the Lord can bless us to be able to reach out and help somebody else. Now he says here, if you see your brother being overtaken in a fault. Now, here's where the issue is. We have to work on ourselves, don't we? If there is something about us, and we, as we said earlier in our discourse, one of the things that we said is that there are things about us that we wish we could change. And our responsibility is to go through life if we know that those things are causing issues in other people's lives and issues in our own lives, then our responsibility is to work on that thing and keep it restrained. We don't just let ourselves, we don't just say, well, this is who I am, and you've got to love it or leave it. We don't say that. There are, because we don't want the other person to say, well, this is who I am, so you just got to love me like I am. This is how God made me. No, it really isn't how God made you. It's how sin made you. And those things that are about you, God wants to give you perfection. He wants to make you a whole man. And you know you're not whole. You know that you have issues. You know you have problems. And so what God wants to do is God brings these people into contact with us and rub us the wrong way so that we can see. That's the mirror, you might say. That's the reflection that we can see how we respond. And basically, what is a mirror? The light rays, I'm not a scientist, but you'll get my point. The light rays are reflecting off of that, and then it's reflecting off of us in some kind of way and reflecting onto that. Am I correct in that? Basically, you get the idea. Well, in the same way, people that rub us the wrong way, or people that rub against us, and folks that God has put in our, they reflect. And then we reflect. And so in essence, what we see, we're a man that's looking in the mirror. They cause us to see ourselves, and we wouldn't look at ourselves any other way. We wouldn't be in the position to see ourselves if it were not for them. All right, so be overtaken. So we can allow these faults to overtake us. We can allow ourselves not to do what we're supposed to do to keep them restrained and to overcome them by the help and the grace of God. Are you following me? All right. Psalms 19, verse 12. Moving toward our conclusion. Who can understand his errors? Who can understand his errors? You know what? One of the things that requires, we're talking about a mirror. And one of the things that is required for us to see ourselves is for us to step a certain distance away from the mirror. Right? If I have a mirror and I put my nose on the mirror, I cannot see myself. Right? And so there are some times that the Lord, that we can't see there things about us that other people can see. Did you know that? There are things about us that other people can see very plainly because they are detached to some degree from us. And there are things that we're so close to it that we can't see it. And so we have to step back. And so sometimes, who can understand our error? Who can understand the things that are attached to me, my problems? And so sometimes the Lord, in his wisdom and his mercy, he says to us, you can't get to heaven like that, so you've got to deal with that. And so the way for me to get you to deal with it, God says, is for me to give you somebody that's telling you what your problem is. Now, what are you going to do with this when you go home? What are you going to do with all this that we're saying here? It's true. So the Lord gives you somebody else to touch on your life and tell you what's wrong with you. But you've got to do it in the right way. That person that's telling has to do it in the right way. Now, the way we started it off is, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Let me say here in this particular scripture, it's talking about confessing. It's cleansing me from my secret faults, things that people don't know that I have to deal with. So he says, cleanse me from that, Lord. There are some things about us that only us and God knows. And it really is not for a whole lot of other people to know. It wouldn't be prudent or beneficial. But the Lord has an ability to cleanse us from those things as well. And helping us, because sometimes those little areas in our lives that we want to keep held to ourselves and secret and cover up, those are the things that's causing problems in other areas. And if we got rid of this and we didn't deal with this like this, then this area right here, it's just like a root that goes up under something and then it comes out. Here really is where the tree is, over here behind the fence where nobody can see it. But here is the root. It's traveling all over here and it's coming up over here and it's causing some other issue that if I cut this down over here, the whole root would come down over here. The root, the little thing that's coming up here would dissipate because the source is cut down. Nobody knows what the source is. Nobody knows where the source is. That's secret. That's between me and God. And I'm not going to tell anybody, but it's causing problems right here. Lord, help us. That there's just something about myself. Maybe something happened in the past. Something happened that I haven't told anybody about. And maybe you don't need to tell anybody, but you can ask the Lord. You know, a lot of things that are causing problems in people's relationships are things that happened when they were little children. And they put up defenses. They put up areas that they will not let that person come into this little part of my life because of what happened to me when I was X years old. And so as a result, we're having problems in your relationship because of something that you haven't dealt with over here, and you won't even tell the person that's closest to you that loves you, and you don't know how to deal with it. So what God wants you to understand is you can say, Lord, cleanse me from my secret fault. Cleanse me from this little area right here. And maybe it's for you to confess that. Maybe it's for you to uncover it. Maybe the Lord wants you in due season to the right person to go and say, listen, this is what my problem is. This is what happened. And I need you to lay hands on me, and I need you to pray for me, and I need the Lord to restore me and to bring me back and help me and have mercy on me. I need that because it's causing a problem over here. Let me tell you what I've seen. I've seen things that have happened in people's lives when they were children that affects their relationship when they get married. They're grown 40 years removed from it and still having problems with that they won't tell anybody. Cleanse me from that, Lord. Secret. Things that I don't tell anybody. Things that I don't want anybody to know. But Lord, you can cleanse me from that by the help and the grace of God. You can do that. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. Emphasis is on healing. I want to read another scripture. Luke 4, verse 18. Start Luke 4, verse 18. This is Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Has your heart been broken maybe some years ago? The Lord wants to heal that. Are you still having an effect because of a broken heart, something somebody did? You know, people, most of us have had loving parents. Probably all of us here have had loving parents, right? But do you know that there are people that have not had loving parents? I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and some of the atrocious things that this person's mother had done to them is unimaginable to me. I couldn't even imagine it. And some of the situations that they put themselves in, and you hear about it all the time, but you know what? The Lord came to heal that, didn't He? Heal the brokenhearted. It doesn't matter what it is that you've gone through, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. And this is just not talking about the physically blind recovering of the sight. But there are some things that have happened to people that cause them to see things differently because of what has happened in their lives. So a person that has been affected in a different way, they see things differently. And you know that I've been blinded in one eye and I see things differently than everybody else. I say that all the time. Everybody here that's heard me preach has probably heard me preach on this subject. But I know when you're blind in one eye, you don't see things exactly the same as you see as everybody else sees them. But I remember how it was before I was blind. Right? I can see everything that you see. I know I don't see it exactly the way that you see it because I remember how it was seen, how I saw it before. I don't have depth of perception like you have it. There are certain things that I cannot do. A person that's blind cannot do in one eye. And so here's the point that I want to make. There are some things that have happened in people's lives. It could be if you do something to my parents or to my brother or to my wife and you've hurt them in some kind of way, then you've hurt me. You understand what I'm saying? And now I look at you differently. I'm saying this you in general. And so things are not quite the way that they should. You don't see things quite the way that you should see them. So the Lord came to heal and to restore sight to the blind. Read. The recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what He did. This is what He came for. So He said to set at liberty them that are bruised. And what is a bruise? It's a wound under the skin, isn't it? And so what this is telling us, and I'm going to close it with this. What this is telling us is that in some ways all of us have been wounded in one way or another. And what God wants to do is that God wants to set at liberty. He wants to make it all right. Whatever your issue is, whatever your problem is, whatever it is that you're dealing with today, God wants, the Lord wants you to know that there is healing in His name. That there is healing for you, that there is spiritual healing, that whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you have dealt with over the course of your life, that God wants to heal you. So it says here, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray that you may be healed. Pray for me.